Catherine Dunn is one of Portland's literary giants. Her highly praised and widely read novel, Geek Love, was a finalist for the 1989 National Book Award and was named one of the Atlantic's great American novels. Catherine was an inspiration and mentor to many writers here in the Pacific Northwest and beyond. She died in 2016, but her legacy continues, including here at KABU, where she hosted the show Gremlin Time under the alias of Red Rider. On today's In-Depth, we celebrate the publication of Catherine's new book, Near Flesh, which collects 19 of her stories, most previously unpublished, and comes out tomorrow, October 7th. To help us celebrate, we're honored to have two of the people instrumental in bringing these stories to us, Catherine's son, Eli D'Apollonia, and Jim Redden, a local journalist who has contributed to Willamette Week, the Portland Tribune, and Oregon Arts Watch. Eli, as mentioned in the intro, your mom had a show on KABU, Gremlin Time, where she read classic and lesser-known stories, including my personal favorite, Jack London's To Build a Fire. The producer, Matthew Clark, added music and special effects, so it was really radio theater. Were you ever there in the studio with her?
Yes, I think I remember coming in a couple of times when she was recording. I don't remember specifically being there for Jack London's To Build a Fire, but I do remember her reading the story. I remember listening to it and really enjoying it.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. It's been a few years.
It's clear from Gremlin Time that she loves short fiction. Most people know her from her novels, but she wrote a bunch of stories, though only a few of those were ever published. Were they rejected or just never submitted?
No, she was really focused on trying to get novels published. And she'd always talked about, ever since I was fairly young, she'd always talked about wanting to put together a short story anthology. And she just kind of never really got around to it. She was working on other things. But it was always there. It was always in the back of her mind. It was always something that she'd wanted to do. So I'm glad we were able to finally make that happen.
Now, Jim, you wrote a wonderful article on the new story collection in Catherine's time at KABU in the July Oregon Arts Watch. You point out there's even a character in Geek Love with a show on a Portland radio station not unlike KABU.
That is correct, and I'm sure she was inspired by her time at KABU, including that in Geek Love. More than that, Matt Clark, the producer, had the nickname Fortunato,
right,
which was another character in Geek Love. So there are references to KABU there. People may not be aware that she was here at KABU because she did always appear under the name Red Rider. And she said she was, in an essay she wrote, people were frequently surprised when they met her and realized she was Red Rider because she had such a low speaking voice. Many readers thought she was a man.
You mentioned in your article that when one listener actually met her, he had fallen in love with Red Rider on the radio.
She had fallen.
Fallen in love and was very disappointed.
Very confused, yes.
Now, in the Arts Watch article, you write about the origin of Near Flesh. This book and the novel Toad, which came out in 2022, owe a lot to a New York book editor, Naomi Huffman.
Correct. She took a real interest in Catherine. She'd been a longtime fan and realized that there was not much else published of Catherine's. And she went online and discovered the archives that are maintained at Lewis and Clark and discovered that there were stories there and contacted Eli to see if he was at all interested in getting any of that published. And he was. And it was a good collaboration, and she was able to do, you know, this collection that comes out tomorrow, the 7th, and previously did the previously unpublished novel Toad.
And Toad, I read, Eli, you actually, it wasn't in the archives. You had a copy that you sent to Naomi, but these stories were.
Well, there was a copy in the archives that was not really legible. And so Jim and D.K. Holm and Bill Redden worked together to make a legible copy that we could send to Naomi. And so that was really the origin of that. It was not in great shape as it was found, but after it was transcribed, it was ready to read and ready for Naomi to look at, and she decided that she liked it and wanted to publish it. And that was really exciting for all of us because Toad had been something that mom wrote back in the 70s and was really, you know, she tried to send it to publishers a few times and had been rejected and was really hurt by that. And it caused her to kind of step away from fiction for a little while. So being able to come back and see it published was really exciting.
Now, you've called the new book, Near Flesh, an opportunity for readers to see stories they might never have access to. Mm-hmm. It allows both her fans and newcomers to experience the wide variety of her writings. What would you say to readers picking up Near Flesh and expecting Geek Love? A lot of people are coming from Geek Love when they read Catherine.
Well, I think that there are certainly stories in there that are consistent with the same sort of level of maturity she had when she wrote Geek Love, or maybe even more so. But a lot of the stories in Near Flesh are stories that she wrote over her entire lifetime. So some of them are stories that she wrote when she was very young. And so it's a real opportunity for people who are interested in her writing to kind of see that evolution and see the changes in her style and see her experiment with different approaches and different styles of writing, because that's something she did throughout her life.
Now, Jim, I'm guessing you're a big Catherine Dunn fan.
Of course.
How were you introduced to her work? Was it through Geek Love, as so many of us were?
Well, I first met Catherine when the two of us were working at Willamette Week. And got to know her back then in the 1980s.
And she had a column there.
She had a column called The Slice, and she also wrote some stories there, and she would come into the staff meetings we would have every week where everybody would sit around a table and tell what they're working on and things like that. And she was just the most amazing person I'd ever met in my life. She was, you know, funny and, you know, great sense of humor. She was not politically correct. I had a full-time job there as reporter, and she was freelancer. But when she wanted to do a big piece on a professional wrestling scene here in Portland, I served as the editor of that. So I was able to work with her while she was writing something fairly large.
Now, unfortunately, we don't have time to go over individual stories in Near Flesh. There's 19 of them, but I'd like to mention one that should be of special interest to Catherine Dunn fans. The title is Rhonda Discovers Art. Can you tell us a little about that one, why it would be so special to a Dunn reader?
That is a chapter from the book she was working on, Cutman, that was never published. Never finished, and it was originally published in the Paris Review, but has always been available only behind a paywall. So this is the first time that many of her fans can see that for the first time beyond the paywall. But for those people that want a sense of how Cutman was going to turn out and what it was going to be about, that's worth looking at. But Doug Perry at the Oregonian this morning let slip that there's a second unpublished chapter of Cutman also as part of the book, and that is the one that follows, called Screaming Angel. So they're actually, I believe anyway, two chapters in Near Flesh.
Oh, that's kind of a bonus for Catherine Dunn fans. Eli, is there any plans to finish the unfinished novel? I mean, that's been done in the past.
Well, unfortunately, Mom left express instructions that we were not to release the remainder of Cutman or try to finish it. And so I'm trying to honor her wishes in that. You know, there's more than 900 pages of material that no one has seen.
Wow.
And
well, that's difficult for you, isn't it?
She was in the process of kind of cutting it and putting things together and trying to figure out what she wanted to do. It was a very lengthy process, you know. It was something that she really wanted to be special. And so I understand the frustration of her fans out there that they don't have access to that. And certainly I feel some of that frustration myself. And at the same time, I want to honor her wishes and honor her legacy. And if she felt that it was not ready for public consumption, then I'm going to respect that.
Now, beyond the novel Cutman, there's still a lot of your mom's work published in journals like Willamette Week and quite a few boxing articles, which was a passion of hers. In fact, she boxed.
Absolutely.
And they haven't been collected in books. Are there any plans for a nonfiction anthology?
You know, Jim and I have certainly talked about that in sort of a cursory way. I think that that's something that we may explore in the future.
Well, Eli and Jim, thanks so much for talking with us about Catherine Dunn and her new story collection, Near Flesh, on sale tomorrow.
Thanks so much for the invitation.
Really appreciate it, Ken.
We've been talking with Eli D'Apollonia, Catherine Dunn's son and executor of her estate, and Jim Redden, a local journalist who has contributed to Willamette Week, the Portland Tribune, and Oregon Arts Watch, about Catherine's new story collection, Near Flesh, which comes out tomorrow, October 7th. There will be an in-person launch for the new book featuring Portland-based authors Omar Elakad and Jeff Vandermeer and Crystal Willer, archivist of Lewis and Clark's Catherine Dunn Collection, also tomorrow, October 7th, 6:30 p.m. at Literary Arts 716 Southeast Grand in Portland. And KBOO set up a special page collecting a few of Catherine's gremlin-timed recordings. You can listen anytime on demand by going to kboo.org and searching for Catherine Dunn Reads. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News In Depth.